Full Story is supported by AMP Super. There are moments in life where everything shifts. A new job, a new home, a new direction. But those same moments can also shape your future. AMP calls these super moments. Times to check in on your super. And with 24/7 digital financial advice, AMP Super helps you make more confident decisions as your situation changes. Search AMP Super Moments to find out more. AMP Super. Built for life's super moments. AMP Super, issued by NM Superannuation Proprietary Limited. See PDS and TMD on amp.com.au and consider what's right for you.
Tom, Pat, thanks so much for jumping straight into the studio there in Canberra.
Great to be with you, Noor.
Yeah, no worries at all. Great to be here.
Lockup has wrapped up. The embargo on the budget papers has lifted. Jim Chalmers began his budget speech declaring that this was the most important and ambitious budget in decades. That is a big claim. So is it? What's your take, Pat?
It is a big claim. It's not totally off the mark. It might be that the kind of the benchmark is very low considering we've had a lack of any real reform for, you know, 25 years. So in that context, maybe it's not such an amazing achievement, but gosh, you've got to give them some credit for attempting to do something with the problem that has been widely identified and probably even agreed on by a pretty broad range of people and having the guts to go ahead and make those changes. So I think he can make a credible argument for that. Whether it's enough, considering the scale of the challenge, is questionable, but it's a fair description of it. What do you reckon, Tom?
Yeah, I think if there are tougher conditions in which to frame a budget than the past couple of months, I don't know what they are. Mm. The assumptions underlying this whole package have shifted almost daily. It's not an exaggeration to say that. For weeks, Jim Chalmers has been telling us that his view is that the crisis from the war in Iran and from the global energy shock are reasons to be more ambitious and to go faster and not the opposite. And look, I think to some extent that's what's happened here today. We expected changes on things like negative gearing and capital gains tax and trusts. We got those. We expected what they're calling this resilience package about better ensuring the country for future crises and kind of getting us through what could be a rocky few months yet. And that's there as well. So I think it's a good budget. I think it's a good start. I think it gives them a credible claim on trying to make the system better, trying to do big reforms.
Mm. And we'll get to some of the details around the housing tax changes in a moment. Tom, as you've just mentioned, the budget was drafted during a time of huge global instability, an oil shock, a war with no clear end in sight. Patrick, what picture do the budget papers paint of Australia's economic future? How much worse is it expecting things to get?
Well, it's not expecting things to get too much worse. I think the baseline forecast, which is what they think is most likely, is that like a lot of analysts and a lot of forecasters, they expect the war to come to some kind of resolution in the not too distant future. That might be a little bit optimistic, but that's a working understanding for a lot of people. So they think that inflation is going to push towards 5%. It's 4.6% now, so, you know, not too much. Unemployment's not really going to move too much. Growth will be a little bit slower, but it's going to feel bad for a lot of Australians, but it's not going to be, you know, kind of a really dark time. That's what they're basing all their budget numbers on. That may be too optimistic. But then on the other hand, they have done a scenario too where they say, well, what if oil prices double in the next couple of months? And then the picture is dramatically different. I mean, you have inflation above 7%. That's almost back to where it was in the, you know, the worst days after COVID. You have the economy actually shrinking in the 3 months to September, which is kind of suggesting that we're getting close to something that looks like a recession. Unemployment is back to where it was pre-COVID, so back above 5%. So it's quite a grim outlook. But, you know, Jim Chalmers says this is just kind of scenario analysis. It's not what they expect. But it's obviously a massive worry. It's got to be a distinct possibility, and that really does hang over this budget.
Tom, let's talk about the tax changes. The Treasurer has tried to frame this budget as one that addresses intergenerational inequality. We knew going into lockup that the budget would be winding back tax benefits attached to investment properties. What do we know about how they're going to be structured, when they'll come into effect?
The negative gearing changes are effective tonight as the Treasurer's speech started, and the other changes come into effect mid-2027, changes on trust start of 2028. The government thinks that these are moving the needle in favour of first home buyers, owner occupiers, taking some of the heat out of the investor market in Australia. Some of the assessments that they include in the budget are about $19,000 off the average price of a house when the changes are taken in full, something like 2% over the next couple of years. The challenge that they've been grappling with is this 25-year-old problem that we've had, the confluence of the 50% capital gains tax discount and the generous negative gearing rules fueling investor purchasing in the Australian property market and pushing out everybody else. Now, as you said in the question, Noor, the intergenerational question for everybody else is where the government has been focused. It'll be interesting to see if people feel like these changes are addressing that, if they see improvements. My sense is that they will be modest improvements and they'll take a while to flow through. So it's going to be challenging for the government. That being said, I do give them credit for taking this on. Labor lost two elections promising changes almost identical to this and have been spooked by that at least since 2019. But even though they ruled it out at the last election, they've taken a step here. I think it's a shame it's a broken election promise. That goes to a question of integrity, but I think probably it's a good step in terms of adjusting the system and trying to rebalance things in favour of people trying to get their foot on the ladder.
Yeah, this doesn't right the wrongs of the past in terms of how the tax system has been set up to favour property investors. But it does at least kind of set us on a more better trajectory from here. So it's not solving all of the affordability problems that we have, but it's just kind of making sure that that kind of extra investor-fueled, debt-fueled kind of impact is no longer to be present. So maybe it will rebalance, is a word they like to use, isn't it? Rebalance away from investors towards owner-occupiers and we'll get a bit of a better shot at owning our own homes.
Mm. The government's estimate is 75,000 people over a decade will be, able to get their own home. That's not very many at all, is it?
No, that's right. It's one of those things where, you know, we started off giving them so much credit for these changes, right, for actually taking the step in the right direction on the hard road to reform, as the Treasurer said. But, I mean, a lot of people who are looking at, 20 years to save for a deposit or whatever will say, well, so what? I mean, what has changed for me right now? And the answer is little. So that's where the tension is, isn't it, Tom?
The only other point that I would make is that these are the tax changes in the housing equation. They're doing things like funding infrastructure works to promote new housing development. The government's up against it on their promise of 1.2 million new homes by the end of the decade. But it's not going to be for want of trying if they fall short of that target. And we've seen more commitments in the budget tonight. So I think we should acknowledge that they're doing a lot. I'm just not sure if it's going to be felt at the kind of population level.
Will it ever be enough?
Mm. Tom, I want to go back to a point you made earlier. Economists, advocates, many Australians who've been shut out of the housing market have been pushing for these changes for years. And Labor at the last election said that it wouldn't be going ahead with them. So why now? What's changed?
They've had a difficult time answering that question, Noor. The problems that exist today, a year on from the election, are 1 year on from where they were before. You know, the tax system was just as generous then as it is now, and the community sentiment about housing shortages was exactly the same. So I think the best they can do is say that good governments make decisions for the times, and if the situation requires changes, they'll make it. But that shouldn't be mistaken for an adequate answer on why the Prime Minister ruled this out during the campaign. By his own admission, 50 times he said he wasn't going to change capital gains tax discounts or negative gearing. And they have done it. So look, I think it's a bit of a warning for us in the press gallery. We need to really take election commitments with a huge grain of salt. And any time in the future that this government in particular says that their policy hasn't changed in a particular area, we should immediately assume that they're close to changing it, because that's the code they're using. And we've learned that a couple of times now.
Mm. We've been talking about the housing crisis for years. Earlier this week, Bill Shorten said that he was ahead of his time attempting to take similar changes to the 2019 election, policies that many attribute Labor's loss to. Is it the case that the politics have changed?
I think the politics have changed a little bit. I don't think that was the only reason that Bill Shorten lost. Having covered both those campaigns, it was rough going for Bill Shorten, 2019 in particular. I think there were other contributing factors, but the intensity of this issue has grown over the years. I think different sections of the parliament can claim credit for that. The crossbench, the Greens have all really put a laser focus on housing. The other thing that I think is going on, I tried to get this into some comment that we wrote today, I think Jim Chalmers has been kind of really keen to prove himself as a reforming treasurer. And there's sometimes a bit of tension between prime ministers and treasurers about the direction of promises, particularly big ones, particularly expensive ones, politically challenging ones. And my sense is that the calm and methodical approach that Anthony Albanese sees as his strong suit and sees as the reason the government won the election so handsomely comes into conflict a little bit with Chalmers wanting to do big things and wanting to be seen as a reforming kind of guy. So I think he's won the argument here. They've been in government for 4 years. There's an anxiousness in the Labor caucus about their kind of reform legacy. I think the politics externally and internally for Labor have shifted a bit over time.
In the lead up to this budget, the opposition was calling these tax changes a betrayal. They claim that they'll feed resentment and division between generations. Is it the case that the coalition is preparing to oppose them? Is that clear?
Well, I think it's pretty clear. And I think they'll definitely oppose them. And they'll oppose them on this idea of it's just a tax grab, it's not doing anything for workers, it's almost fake. It's a fake attempt to help, younger Australians, because it doesn't give them the same kind of tax breaks that their parents did. So it's going to make them harder to build wealth. So I think those are going to be the lines. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think they'll try and be a little bit more cautious than they were in the last parliament when they kind of went over their skis a couple of times on opposing key measures. But I think they probably will oppose them. I think if these changes pass, it will be with the Greens' cooperation. And then the question is, would an incoming coalition government reverse them? And I suspect we'll have difficulty getting out of Angus Taylor a proper answer on that. I think they'll oppose them and then probably try and hope that people forget about them. Because I think, like the Stage 3 income tax cuts in the last parliament, there'll be lots of kicking and screaming, but they'll realise pretty quickly that people support these changes because broadly they match where the community sentiment is.
And Tim Wilson, the shadow treasurer, has previously backed in these kinds of reforms, right? So, and Andrew Hastie's kind of, I feel like there is this recognition on the other side of politics that there is this strong frustration among the public. They need to try to spin it so it looks like it's not achieving the goals that everyone thinks should be achieved, which might be a bit cute and a bit difficult for them, but we'll see.
We'll be right back.